The Sharpshooters, episode 38, January 25th, 2006. Also, the music provided is by the PodSafe Music Network. Check them out at music.podshow.com. Welcome, everybody, to the Sharpshooter Wrestling Podcast. I am Eric.
And I'm Marcus, the grand finale.
And we are the Sharpshooters. This is our 38th episode of our Sharpshooters Podcast.
Meaning there's 37 put away already.
Exactly. So,
see, I do my math now.
If anybody know this week, the Steelers did make it to the Super Bowl. Hallelujah.
Here we go again.
Had to throw that in there real quick.
Here we go again.
You want a cheap plug for your coach for Green Bay or something, or should we just move into the show?
Let's just go into the show.
All right, before we start the show off, let's give off our basic information. Our website is the Sharpshooters.
Wait a minute. You actually wrote this down?
Yeah, so I can remember.
You know our email address.
No, but I just, look, to remind me.
Oh, okay.
Now, can you stop interrupting me I'm doing the show?
That's what has to
happen. When I'm reading it.
That's
okay.
Eric, it's what has to happen.
Anyway, the Sharpshooter website is thesharpshooters.blogspot.com. Our email address is thesharpshooters@gmail.com. You can send any comments or suggestions to that address. We have a well poll on our site that we will be closing down on a Saturday episode, since the Royal Rumble will be this Sunday. And the question is, how long will Edge hold his title? To the Royal Rumble, after the Royal Rumble, or at WrestleMania? We will find out probably on Sunday. And also, to appease Marcus, we have a Frapper map on there. If you do not know what a Frapper map is, it's a map of the continents of the United States. And pretty much, if you listen
it's
to our show...
It's all over the world.
That's what I meant to say, over the world.
Over the United States of America. Oh, how shallow.
Okay, it's a map of the continents of the world. And wherever you listen to, you go there, you plug in your address, you put your comments there, and you get on our map. So we encourage you guys to go do that. Anything else to add to the news, Marcus?
Yes, you forgot to, not the news, but our information. You forgot to say, vote for us at PodcastAlley.com. It's on the site. Just click the link. You'll go to Podcast Alley right now. Right now, we're currently ranked 920th among podcasters in January. So please vote, and maybe we can get up further than, maybe we get 919.
Yes.
Because we currently got 3 votes.
So pretty much you just put your email address in there and you vote. Well, with that out the way, it's time for the news. I would have to say it's been a slow week in news, but it's been a quality week in news. I mean, some of the news that we found. The first story is UPN and WB have merged companies, which means that the UPN network and the WB have merged. They have become one network, and they will be called the CW network.
Now, CW.
I have to say, that's pretty a stupid name.
No, CW. I don't mind that.
The CW. What, the Chris Webber network?
Nah, it's, I don't know what it's for, but it's CW. I don't mind it, but I never watch most of these channels anyway.
Okay.
Most of the time I watch UPN for SmackDown pretty much, and the WBA, everybody hates Chris. And
well, anyway,
WB, I never really
let me get back into it. The new CW network will be available in over 95% of the country, which is a huge amount, knowing that now 95% of the people can watch this. Now, you might ask yourself, why is this information on a wrestling podcast? Well, the reason why is because this affects SmackDown. Because as if you're not aware, the SmackDown television contract expires in September. Now, at one point, WWE had some bargaining leverage because there was only one other network that was touting to put the SmackDown on their show, and that was the WB.
Now,
with the WB being merged with UPN, many feel that the WWE has no more leverage because, you know, it's only one channel now essentially interested in SmackDown. But there are also a variety of reports that says that WWE has already signed an agreement with UPN for 2 more seasons of SmackDown. In my opinion, I always thought wrestling would be a good fit on Fox. They don't really show nothing on Friday anyway.
No, they got rip-off reality shows on Friday, probably. I don't know. Maybe does OC come on Friday?
No, it comes on Thursday. Friday?
Skating with the Stars Monday.
Nope, that's Monday.
American Idol's Tuesday.
And Wednesday.
Don't Bones or something?
Wednesday.
House comes on Tuesday. Well, I don't know.
Okay, exactly. So that's why I feel they can be on Fox. But whatever, as long as it's on regular TV for people who can see who does not have cable, that's a good benefit. The next story is that apparently there is going to be more competition added to the Wrestling Roar. Not only will it be a TNN product, a TNA product, or a WWE product. I'm sick, Marcus, what can you say? But there are reports reported by PW Insider that MTV has ordered a pilot of a new professional wrestling promotion. This promotion will be called New Age Wrestling, NAW for short, and their goal is to mix music with wrestling.
Is NAW nah?
Yeah, I guess it's nah.
Nah.
And apparently there's also reports, many rumors circulating around the net, that Chris Jericho is reported to be in negotiations with Nah to be their top star because he sees it as a way where he can be the top star in wrestling and also promote his band Fozzy.
No, it would be Nah.
Whatever. The first show will be taped on February 9th in Los Angeles, and some of the wrestlers who will be on that show will be Vampiro.
That's really good.
New Jack.
I like New Jack.
I guess, I don't know, it says Sean Waltman, but I think he's with TNA now, so I'm not really sure. PJ Polanco, formerly Just Incredible, Jack Evans, Teddy Hart, and Matt Sindel.
Who's Jack Evans?
I have no idea who the last three cats were, but they're going to be at
Jack
the show.
Jack Sindel, heard that name before.
It's Matt.
Well, it's
going to be taped in Los Angeles. If we figure out how the heck to get tickets, I wouldn't mind going just to see what's going on.
I think it's more wrestling the better, the more competition. Maybe, I don't know, is it MTV or Music Network?
Yeah, but you know, well, Marcus, have you turned to MTV lately?
Yes, I have. It is Real World.
Real World. Diddy making the band. Room Raiders.
Well,
next.
Making the band, something to do with movie, music. And what else do they have? Like video game shows and Music Network doing wrestling.
Like more competition, more options for other wrestlers make people work harder.
Yeah.
And the last story for tonight, it's a little bit of a Raven update.
Well, you got three little things with Raven name next.
Yeah, week. Raven will be out of action for a couple of months to further the storyline and give him some time to heal from his injuries that he has.
Maybe he'll lose some weight.
Unfortunately, he will not be paid while he's off air by TNA because in his contract, it structures him to pay him for when he appears. So he only get paid when he show up, which is a fair way in a way.
I don't know, because they wrote him in a storyline so he wouldn't appear.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's not that fair.
But then they have Jackie Gator. Now, the thing is, why he needs time off, he's suffering from a severe thyroid problem from his years of using of drug abuse, pretty much, from pharmaceutical and recreational drugs. This condition is causing him to gain weight and making it extremely difficult for him to lose the weight.
Oh.
His current weight is 270 pounds. This totally explains why when we first turned on TNA and we saw Raven, he was like fat.
He's
we were like,
shape.
We was like, wow, what the hell is wrong with Raven? It's like he's letting himself go.
Apparently, he has a condition. He has Cushing's.
He has a thyroid.
Oh, well, I didn't know. I didn't know you said thyroid.
You just don't ever listen to me.
I listen most of the time.
No, you don't. Well, anyway, that does it for the news this week. And if you guys, like I said, if you ever have any other news articles that we might have missed or you would like to add something to something that we mentioned in a prior episode, feel free to email us at thesharpshooters@gmail.com.
Or if you're like at an event and want to give your experience at that event and that's somewhat news, we'll read those too.
Oh, whatever. All right. So we'll be back after this short break with the TNA Impact Report. Welcome back, you guys. I hope everybody enjoyed the break. We are now it's now time for the TNA Impact Report. TNA aired on the 17th of January, I believe. That's when we recorded our last show, where we had all those audio problems that we really apologize for. But
did
hey,
you really apologize?
No, I didn't. I forgot. I was going to do that at the beginning of the show, but I forgot. We have a cheap mic. What can you say?
Yeah, well, we went over what type of mic we got.
Yeah, it's a cheap one.
$22.97.
Anyway, let's get back into the TNA report. No reason to digress, because there will be plenty of time later on the episode for us to digress some more.
Because we normally digress.
Yes, exactly.
See,
so,
we're on the right page for a moment.
The greatest TNA airs by showing the greatest moment in TNA history as they consider it. The show.
Wait a minute. Before you consider this, the greatest moment in TNA history as they consider it, wasn't Christian signing the greatest moment in TNA history?
I believe so.
I'm thinking the greatest moment in history if Jeff Jarrett winning that belt.
I'm saying the new flavor of the month. So they open the show with showing clips of Sting at the pay-per-view and his arrival, and then they reiterated that this is the greatest moment in TNA history. After that, they go to the parking lot where Don West is outside waiting, saying that they will have security inform them right when Sting arrives to the arena. Throughout the night, they continue to hype Sting coming to TNA.
Apparently, he didn't show up.
Marcus, don't spoil that for
them. I'm sorry, but they...
Marcus, don't spoil it, because I'm going to spoil it for him later on, just like how everybody else is. Could you jump in the lake? Just follow the script.
I don't have a script.
Look at that, and let's follow the flow. Follow the flow.
I'm sorry, I can't read.
You got... I'm not going to...
You don't do it.
I don't feel like doing it right now.
No.
So anyway, the first match of the night was Elix Skipper and David Young, the Diamonds in a Rough with Simon Nyman, versus the new blonde Chris Sabin and Sonjay Dutt. Now, did this match make any sense of why this match was happening?
No, but the key highlight to this was your boy Elix Skipper. Chris Sabin's hair.
Yeah, what the hell
he
was
looks
that?
Completely different.
But you know what?
We didn't order or watch the Sting pay-per-view, as they should have called it. TNA Sting.
Was it Turning Point?
I don't know. They should just call this TNA Sting.
I don't know.
Anyway, he looks completely different.
Yeah, so Chris Sabin picks up Sonya Duck in a move like he was about to powerbomb, which was a nice move, but then, like, in mid-powerbomb form, Sonjay, like, backflips onto David Young. But it was really nice how it looked. It's hard to describe, but then...
A lot of X Division moves is hard to describe.
But then, Elix Skipper flipped over the top rope, jumped in, and delivered a hellfire clothesline to Sonjay Duck. Probably an impressive move that I've seen Elix do, which I really can't say that Elix Skipper is that impressive to me.
What do you have against Elix Skipper?
Does he look like a little short version of Devon Dudley?
He does.
The match ended with some double team action, of course. Chris Sabin landed his where he sets the person upside down in a corner, then he does a drop kick where he like floats in the air for like a second, and then he hits it. And then Sonjay hit the Hindu press on David Young for the win.
The only move that you know all of a sudden.
The Hindu press.
No, but all of a sudden, that's the only move you knew. You're like, oh, he flipped and he's like freezing in midair. And then you like got to snap a picture and then he backflips some more. And
okay.
He comes back.
Does Chris Sabin,
and then he does the Hindu clutch.
Does Chris Sabin floating dropkick has a name to it?
It's called the Chris Sabin Flow Dropkick.
Exactly, that's what I called it. But the Hindu press, the reason why I know, because the announcers yelled it out. Oh, the Hindu press.
Oh, it's so delicious, okay. And I love the treats.
Is Sonjay going to ever get a shot at the title, or no?
Nah, he's probably at the level of Sharkboy right now. Something. Well, apparently, Chris Sabin, Matt Bentley, Sharkboy, Elix Skipper, and, you know, the rest of Diamonds in the Rough, and Sonjay Dutt, we'll never get any type of shine.
Exactly.
It just looks like that.
And the reason why is because we go backstage where the franchise Shane Douglas is interviewing AJ
Can
Styles.
Can you call him formerly known as the franchise?
Okay, formerly known as the franchise Shane Douglas. On his shirt, though, he has franchise. So
yeah,
I still
but
think
he is
he
the feel, franchise
He feels
anymore.
He thinks he's the franchise.
He's holding a microphone.
I don't know. Well, he's better than Don West. Okay, yes. So AJ gets
Why
on...
Why couldn't they have him do color
I don't know, Marcus.
I hate that one.
AJ gets on the mic, and he talks about how he's the number one contender against Samoa Joe, and he will face him at the Against All Odds pay-per-view. Then he begins to talk about his street fight with Shannon Moore, but then he's interrupted by the fallen angel, Christopher Daniels. Daniels says that it was not AJ's responsibility to throw the towel in at the pay-per-view, and... He felt that the only reason why AJ did this is because he wanted to sell his number one spot against Samoa Joe for the X Division Championship. Now, you went Mars. What do you have to add?
Did we ever get a results to that pay-per-view?
Yes, we did.
On the Monday?
That was the hour and 34-minute show.
That was the Monday show last week.
Yes. Okay. You okay?
Yeah, I'm
okay.
All right. I'm making
okay.
sure.
AJ responds by saying that he was looking out for Daniels' well-being and his family, and that he and Daniels are built from the same mold, and they are built on more heart than brains, and they don't know when to quit. So AJ decided to quit for him. Daniels responded by saying it's nice having such a good friend looking out for him, but he said it very sarcastically, like, you son of a bitch, mm-hmm. you screwed me over, F you, go to hell.
Now, do you think that lead to a triple threat match between AJ Samoa Joe and the Falling Angel?
I think that would be a smart move to make, but knowing TNA, they haven't made all the best decisions when it comes to developing their talent. And are they going back to the feud where Christopher Daniels and AJ are friends for a couple of weeks, and all of a sudden they're bitter enemies again?
All over a towel.
Then after that, they go to commercial, and the businessman in backstage interview, Shane Douglas, is now in front of Sting's locker room waiting for his arrival. But I thought, why is he doing that when Don West had already informed the security to let them know when he got there? I just want to know.
He was so hell-bent on seeing Sting tonight. He was happy. It was like a giddy little scoop.
Yeah, and then they cut back to the ring. You know what the announcers were doing some more, Marcus?
What?
Talking about Sting coming tonight, being mm-hmm. on TV. Boy, oh boy. Then it was time for the next match. It was Team Canada. That would be Petey Williams, the captain.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Young,
oh, come
the
on.
Jittery one. And then Marcus' favorite president,
the sauce!
A1. Versus Lance Hoyt, the pissed off Texan.
Is that his gimmick? Is that his storyline? He's a ticked off person.
I just want to know, why does he walk out like that? You know the bad part? No one's even cheering Hoyt no more.
Yeah, but Eric, is that his is that his character? He's just pissed off and he's from Texas?
I guess.
What is he pissed off about?
But you know
about?
What? You thought with Lance Hoyt the team couldn't get no worse, but no. You add Shark Boy. And then
your little salute thing.
And no, and then you add the true Ron Killings, who for some reason decided that he needed to dance to the ring.
He had the upstage of all because he was in the back and then he just started dancing in front of everybody all the way to the ring.
But I found out a very interesting part of him coming out to the ring.
That he can't dance?
No, that he was a 2-time NWA.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know. I thought he won it once.
No, he was twice,
I can't believe you gave that belt to that man
He
twice.
Had a sequel.
The problem I had with this match is that the announcer spent the majority of the time in this match discussing Sting coming to Impact. They didn't call, like, no moves. They didn't call anything. These guys in there fighting, they're talking about, oh, Sting is going to be here. Ooh, what Sting is going to do. Also,
I hope he signs this autograph. I have a picture of him when he was wearing pink tights and everything and blonde hair.
Also, another good part of this match was when David Young, or Eric Young, made fun of Ron Killings in the ring by he started doing the snake maneuver.
He did the electric thing, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. Anyway, the truth hit him in the gut, but it was still funny. So how this match ends is that Lance Hoyt gets inside of the ring, and he clears out the ring, and then Shark Boy gets inside of the ring. Shark Boy delivers a headset scissors takedown to Eric Young, who he apparently earlier in the match gave him the shark bite, mm-hmm. which is the worst move in wrestling.
Yes, because no teeth were touching.
And then he was going to attempt his finishing maneuver on P.E. Williams, and I believe it's called the deep sea dive. But that was reversed for when Shark Boy was going to flip. Eric Young got back in the ring, caught Shark Boy, they dropped him like with a neck breaker, and then that's when it set up the Canadian Destroyer by Petey Williams, and they got the win.
Now, here's a question. What happened to Petey Williams? I mean, he was the number one contender for the X Division title. He lost against AJ, and he just disappeared out of the whole picture of the title.
Well, what sucks is that, what are they doing with Team Canada? There's no such thing as a 3-man tag team belt unless they create that. So there's no reason to have always having all these 3-man tags. Because each week on Impact, we're guaranteed to get a 3-man team versus another 3-man team. It makes no sense. Team Canada, what, 4 people deep? Where was Bobby Roode tonight? You know what I mean?
Yeah, he was upset that, wait, didn't he beat Killings?
Oh, and Bobby Roode will be now on known as the Enforcer, Bobby Roode.
Okay.
That's his new name.
That's all right.
Hey, so, you know, I'm thinking that this match could get no better because, you know, you get Lance Hoyt and Shark Boy, but then the next match is even worse. It's the James Gang, Kip and BG versus Kenny King and Buck Quartermain.
Now, here's another person that dyed his hair. Kenny King. Why was his hair
brownish, reddish?
Why did he have red hair now?
Because he's trying to win some matches.
He trying to defer himself from looking like Monty Brown?
I don't care what it is, but they're burying Kenny King, and he looks like he has some type of ability, former Tough Enough contestant himself, but who can you say? Before the match, you know, got announced, they even aired even something worse before this match, they aired video recapping Jackie Gator problems with Jeff Jarrett and Gail Kim. No one cares about this story, because I know I don't.
Let me tell you, there is no story. He chose Gail Kim over Miss Jackie Gator, and she's mad because she feels she need money.
And then you can't go with the story that you left WWE because you were fired. Thank you.
Yes.
So anyway.
You can say release. I think that's the proper term.
She was fired.
She walked in the room and was like, fired.
Okay, so BG gets on his mic and he does his normal intro. And then Kip James gives us the 3 G's. Got it, get it, good.
Hold on. Why is he talking?
Because that's all he know. You know, he was always known when they were the New Age Outlaws. He only gave you one line.
I got two words for you. Check it. But come on, man. Do we need this?
No, because...
Do I need a rehash of the New Age Outlaws? Less talented New Age Outlaws on the mic? I mean, they're useless now.
I don't know.
The James game?
Just like I said, this match had really no purpose, and Kemp landed his Cobra Clutch Slam for the win on Kenny King.
There was not one tag in the whole match.
No, it wasn't.
And so why was this a tag match?
And then after the match, something worse even happened. LAX appeared on the screen. If you don't know who LAX is, that's Conan and Homicide. Well, they're having troubles with Apollo right now since he no-show. The Latin American Exchange. Conan gets on the mic talking about we need to squash his feud at the pay-per-view. Why they didn't do this last time?
Mm-hmm.
And then he's told Homicide to speak on it. Homicide act like he had a Uzi, shot across the screen.
Uh-oh.
And then Conan said, Arriba La Raza.
As he always does.
And it's just like, first of all, I really don't care about the beef between Conan and Kip James. And then Conan was upset because... Apparently, he feels that BG turned Ron the True Killings against him. Maybe you turned Ron the Killings against you when you made a group called the Latin American Exchange, and the truth is black. I'm just saying.
And you broke up everything he had, which was Four Line Crew. Now he's just a dancing black guy with Lance Hoyt.
What you gonna change the name? The Latin American Exchange with the black guy? You know what?
With the dancing black guy.
You know, I mean, This has no story. And then we go backstage again.
Oh, speaking of the truth, he did some nice moves in that match, by
the way.
The
truth actually can wrestle a little bit,
but he has to stop dancing.
He has to stop dancing, and I wish he would go to a fade or bald-headed and just let the braids go.
I don't mind the braids. Just stop dancing.
He's not going to do that.
Look at that Daquan's dance moves.
So anyway, we go backstage, and the busiest man, like I said in interviewing, the man formerly known as the franchise, is now inside Larry Zbyszko's office, and he wants some info from Larry Zbyszko. Larry informs everyone, very quick and very short, that TNA management said that Sting was delayed and he would be appearing next week on the show. Now, for me, I knew that he wasn't appearing on this show anyway, because if you go and look at the taping's results, Sting wasn't on this show, he was on the next show. And so they just tried to cover up real quick. So what I think really sucks is that you suck people into watching this show. You made them sit through Lance Hoyt, Shark Boy, and also the James Gang.
And Jackie Gator's useless story plotline.
And you thinking you're going to see Sting, then you drop a bombshell that Sting ain't going to be there. Well, I would turn right there.
Actually, out of curiosity, Jared hasn't been on the show on this whole show yet, huh?
He will, though, man.
I know, but he wasn't on the whole, half hour.
You know why Jared wasn't on the show? What? Because he sends his boy, Monty Brown, in there. Because this is where Larry Z says that he's going to announce Jared's opponent next week also. Monty Brown comes in, and he says that Sting has a long-term contract, but he is nowhere to be found. And then he looked at the contract that Larry Zbyszko had in his hand. He looked it over, snatched it out of his hand, and walked out and said, Jared would like to see this. And the bad part about this, you realize you just got, being Larry Zbyszko, being the big general manager, whatever you are, you just got punked by your superstar. He just took the contract, walked out, and you didn't even say nothing about it. You was like, hey, stop,
Bear,
come back here.
Sugar Bear.
I don't know.
Man, but here's another problem. This over who's his next opponent shouldn't have been Christian. He defeated Monty Brown and...
Well, it should have been
title about 3 or 4 months ago.
It should have been Monty Brown, but then he got screwed by Christian. And, I mean, anybody should know that probably Jeff Jarrett is facing Sting. I mean, come on.
It has to be Sting.
And then I read reports that when Sting wants to fight Abyss for some reason, I don't know why.
Maybe they're old buddies from back in the good old days.
I don't know. I don't care. Now it's time for the main event wrestling match, which is Shannon Moore, the King of Punk.
This is the main event?
Wait, yeah.
Oh,
the Prince,
match,
the
yes.
Prince of Punk, maybe they call him.
Yes, the Prince.
Versus AJ Styles in a street fight. Now, Shannon Moore comes out. Well, before the match started, they showed footage of how the feud got started.
Mm-hmm.
Shannon Moore comes out. He dressed in regular wrestling attire, no shirt, tights, and all that. AJ comes out, and he's dressed for a street fight.
He's dressed for a street. He has the AJ Styles t-shirt, as wrestlers always do, sell that shirt in a street fight, taped up hands, you know, like a boxer or something, and he's ready to fight.
So did someone not tell Shannon Moore that this was a street fight?
Well, Shannon Moore is the Prince of Punk, and he just wears what he wears.
He didn't get the memo, I guess. So also, to add another twist to this match, which it really predicted the outcome for me at the get-go, Christopher Daniels was doing commentary, and he was just complaining about how AJ threw the towel in. And you just saw this coming from the get-go.
Yeah, but out of curiosity, why the hell is he always doing commentary?
But the thing
every exhibition match, I'm Christopher Daniels. All right, this is a really good match. And he don't say nothing.
Lamar, yes, that's the problem. He does commentary, but he's not saying a damn thing.
This is his commentary, I think, is worse than Ken Kennedy's. Kennedy, who doesn't say nothing either, but when he does say something, it's pointless, but it's pointless to the point that he's pointless.
Well, because Marcus Kennedy is over with the crowd, so that's why people are more willing to deal with him. Christopher Daniels is not the best mic talker, and AJ isn't even. I discovered that. It's so flawed. But this match was also flawed. So anyway, what happens is Shannon suplexes AJ over the guardrail, and they battle into the stands. And then this is pretty much leads into AJ jumping off from the higher level seats on top of Shannon.
It wasn't that high
no,
of a jump.
No,
you I mean the higher
Martin,
level.
Martin.
It was like jumping off a bed.
No, it was a little bit higher than that. But Martin, see, that's the point. You didn't let me finish. I was gonna say it makes it sound like he did something more impressive than what he really did. But it wasn't really that impressive. But apparently he hurt his knee in the process.
Oh no.
They move back into the ring, and guess who else decided to come down and watch this match? Samoa Joe with a bloody towel. I'm assuming that was Christopher Daniels' blood, but
or it could have been
Christopher
Daniels. I don't know
Daniels.
What he fought
lately. He's fond of Christopher Daniels' blood. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Shannon goes to work on AJ's knee, and he grabs a chair. Once again, the rules in TNA is nowhere to be found.
It's a street fight.
It's a street fight.
Street fight. What are you talking
my
about?
My bad that I was watching a regular TNA match. So he wraps the chair around his knee, and he act like he's going to jump up onto
Yo,
the chair.
Pimmelizer.
But then AJ picks up his foot. Now, the problem with this move, could what happened if one of those chair legs impaled the Prince of Punk in his gut or something? Because that was a dangerous maneuver.
Nah, it was all right. I felt it was nice. The only nice part, really, about the match to me, everything else was a dull in this match. Very disappointing.
Now, also, now what happens is AJ goes for the Styles Clash, but Shannon reverses into a single A Boston Crab. And this is where I predicted was going to happen. Christopher Daniels, oh no, his knee! I need to go down to ringside. And he throws in the towel. Now, my problem with this match, true, I did not see the pay per view. But the thing is, when AJ probably threw in the towel on whatchamacallit, the match ended right then and there. How come?
Maybe because Samoa. How does somebody that's not even in your corner throw in a towel?
But first, explain this to me. How come when Christopher Daniels threw in a towel, the ref need to go and figure out what the hell are you doing?
Because it was bullshit, seriously. But, he's over there as a half-Boston crab. Oh, he's really in agonizing pain.
But Marcus,
he's not bleeding. But, he's not going through convulsion or nothing.
It doesn't matter.
He's not brain dead.
If you throw the towel in, you need to stop the match with a towel thrown in.
What the hell is Christopher Daniels to throw a towel in?
I don't know.
It's like AJ to throw in a towel on him.
Exactly, but then this proves a stupider point is when he throws the talent, like I said, the ref gets up and looks, and it's already, what are you doing? AJ gets up and looks, what are you doing? But then Shannon comes and gets a pin on AJ, and the ref counts, which is pretty much what it just did was, it diluted the total whole fact that he threw the towel in there, because sadly, the towel is not what cost AJ the match, it's AJ being distracted that would cost him the match.
The funniest thing, well, I don't mind the whole distraction to the pin because of Christopher Daniels and the towel thing. I don't mind. I just find it ridiculous throwing in the towel. When's the last time somebody threw in a towel?
No, but now the greatest thing is afterwards, you hear Christopher Daniels, now you see how it feels to have somebody else decide the outcome of your match.
You just distracted the referee. That's like, you was like, man.
The towel in.
Like he was throwing a college flag.
And my question is,
what challenge this?
What happened to Samoa Joe after that?
Oh, he just laughed and laughed like.
So anyway, we go backstage, and the busiest man in backstage interviewing, the man formerly known as the franchise, is back in Larry Zbyszko's office, but this time he's not alone, but he's joined by Brother Ray and Brother Devon, Team 3D.
People just walk in his office.
Exactly.
And sits anywhere.
But you know what? Remember a couple of weeks, you couldn't get inside his office.
Yes, because you couldn't find Zbyszko.
Yeah.
He got to replace that lock.
They were in there complaining about how they got screwed at the pay-per-view for the titles. Then Larry Zbyszko walks in, and they demand a match against America's Most Wanted and Team Canada.
Because I believe they was, like, screwed or something at the pay-per-view.
Yeah. And so, anyway, they're pretty much asking for a triple threat tag team match, which I have no problem with.
No, I don't.
Larry says that he loves Team 3D, and he would love to book them against anyone, but he has to answer to management. He tells them to think about who they want to face and who they want to fight more, and then get back to them next week. After they walked out the locker room, he called them crybabies. Now, Mr. TNH, I need to report back to management. Why couldn't you put them in a triple threat tag team match?
Why do you have to go all the way to management to make sure you do something?
Well, it's nice to see that everybody else is referring to TNA management as TNA management.
Yeah, other than Jared, JEFFJARERET.
So right before they go to commercial, they show Christian on his cell phone. He was sporting a Motorola Razr. I guess no one really cares, but I noticed that. And they go to commercial.
I didn't care.
They come back into the ring, and Christian goes in the ring, and he says that he just got off the phone with Sting, and he was at the movies watching the life story of Jeff Jarrett and Monty Brown. Brokeback Mountain.
Brokeback Mountain.
I never broke back mountain, baby.
It's never going to stop.
It's never going to stop.
Even I was watching, I think, Jimmy Kimmel Live, and he showed a clip when this... And George Bush was talking to on a press conference, and this kid was like, "Have you seen Brokeback Mountain yet? Because you're a rancher." And then Bush was gonna respond like, "You son of a you know what I mean? Gay jokes I can make that." And it was pretty funny.
Yeah, but I mean, everybody is riding on the Brokeback Mountain. It's not wrong.
Everybody's riding in Brokeback Mountain.
So anyway, Christian says that Sting will be there next week, but then they already announced this.
Yes, and why does he and Sting buddy?
Yeah, what's this?
And he could call Sting. Well, he probably didn't really call him.
And then they were having a decision in their match, supposedly. So anyway, after he says that, Jarrett comes out.
Here we go.
Jarrett claims that he ran Sting out of TNA after just one appearance.
And apparently, Jarrett got a concussion or something. Right. He didn't realize he lost.
And anyway... He then said maybe TNA management should create another flavor in the month. How about bringing in Chris Jericho this time?
Why not? I mean, Chris Jericho come in, number one contender. Then you're bringing, let's see, who just got fired by any chance?
Marcus.
You're bringing Eugene?
No, F this. I don't want a number one contender match if Chris Jericho comes in. I want a match Chris Jericho versus Christian for the freaking entrance.
Oh, yeah.
Who gets to keep
Who
that
entrance? Who gets that countdown?
Who gets the countdown? That's what I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want. Then, you know, after that, Jarrett made a good point.
Christian may lose that countdown, but he can still get to go up.
Yeah. And then Jarrett threatens to send Christian back to mid-card status where he belongs. Christian had enough. He runs out to attack Jarrett. Then Monty Brown, his Brokeback Mountain lover, comes out and he saves him. And then Rhino comes out and saves Christian. Then they're in the ring by themselves with the contract. And they look down at the contract like, wow, who should get this? Then the man Abyss comes out to the ring. He attacks Rhino. They fight. Jared and Christian is fighting outside the ring, which leaves Monty Brown inside the ring alone with the contract. He stares at the contract, looks up at the camera, and it's like, hey.
And you know what? Monty Brown is the only wrestler that has to look at the camera every single week on TNA. Every single week, he looks directly into that one side camera over there just every week. I mean, it's just like, stop looking at the damn camera.
So you don't feel that he's entertaining, though? Who you ready to hear, Jared or Brown?
I hear Monty Brown because he makes no sense, and Jared makes... perfect sense about TNA management. He destroys his own company by saying TNA management is stupid.
Do you think what they're going to have happen, which I think would make more sense, especially coming off the Royal Rumble, shouldn't you have a battle royal for the title? Then Jack can really feel that everybody's against him? Because it makes no sense. You have robbed Monty Brown of his title shot. Mm-hmm. You have robbed Christian of his title shot.
You may rob Sting.
You might rob Sting. It just seemed like, why does Jarrett have to have this belt? Can we get the truth back into this mix?
Samoa Joe ain't got a shot yet.
I mean, and then it's like, all these people that is in Jarrett's camp also want the title. So, what's going on with this?
Well, wouldn't that be really, that, you know, everybody should want the title. Yeah. I have no problem with that. But I'm just saying,
so anyway,
what is going on in TNA management that every newcomer has to become champion?
I have no idea.
And also, when he said Jericho's name, was a lot of Y2J chants.
Yes, it was. I mean, I guess everybody wants Jericho back, but I feel that, I don't know. I can't really comment on Jericho. Fozzy's being really successful. That sucks. Anyway, that's our TNA Impact report.
Oh, yeah, it ended with a big brawl like it always does.
Yeah, as usual. So, Mars, you have anything else to add, or should we go to break right now?
I think we added a lot in this about how stupid storylines have become in TNA.
And Brokeback Mountain is the focus of every wrestling show to date now.
Yes, it is.
All right, so I guess that's enough of this. We're going to take another break. We'll be right back with the Raw Report. See you guys then.
In a world in need of a champion,
this individual is cashing in his money and the bank privilege.
One man has risen to the top.
And has shocked the world.
I stand before you, your new WWE champion.
A man not afraid to break the rules.
With live, torrid, mad, passionate sex.
And destroy his enemies.
Bam! Concerto! I bashed his brains in!
Perhaps the most opportunistic WWE champion of all time!
I do what I want!
No!
Oh my God!
When I want!
That is amazing!
I am awesome!
This Sunday,
I want Lita to finish me off
at the Royal Rumble.
Watched WWE champion of all time.
Prepare to be taken.
I'm the rated R superstar, and you better get used to it.
To the edge.
Welcome back, everybody. It is now time for the Raw Report, done by the Sharpshooters, the only way that we know how. Very raw. That was very corny.
That was the worst thing I've ever heard. Stop trying to come up with new things to say. Every week you say something stupid.
What about you every week you say something stupid? Try to steal somebody else's clothesline. What was it last week? Oh, spread like butter. I mean, you can't steal that. So anyway, it's time for the Raw Report. Edge and Lita open the show, as you guys heard before this happens, with the movie trailer. And Edge states that he is not the transitional champion like Iron Sheik or Mick Foley, who won it and lost it and was never heard from again.
That's a shot.
I thought Mick Foley won the belt more than once.
No, he won it like 3 times.
Exactly, so he's not really, I wouldn't call him
a
trap.
Yeah, but he lost it every other week.
That's a good point. He had
it. It was him and The Rock going back and forth for like a while.
Then he took a shot at Ric Flair, which is not a really good thing considering they were in Carolina, North Carolina. Flair country, as we have learned to call it, and said that he would not lose the title 16 times, and he will not become a walking joke such as Flair.
Oh.
Once again, somebody acknowledges that Flair did lose the belt 16 times.
Yes, and every week, well, it's mostly Edge who's been saying that lately, who's like, you won it 16 times, but you lost it 16 times.
Yeah, and then Marcus probably enjoyed the next line that Edge said. He said, after he defeats Cena at the Rumble, the fans would have to attach themselves to another piece of crap. Just because Edge just acknowledged that Cena was a piece of crap, that probably makes Marcus feel really good.
Yes, it does. And you know who he sounded like right here that I just realized? He actually sounded like Jeff Jarrett.
Yes, he did.
He sounded like he isn't losing, everybody's out to get him, and you're going to have to bring in a newcomer from our state.
To beat him. Then John Cena music hits, and he comes out, and he said that he enjoyed Edge's movie trailer, but there's another movie he knows about that he got a sneak preview of. It's a classic tale of a boy and his hope. Then he ran down a lot of hoe jokes directed towards
Lita. Oh, I thought you were going to go through every single hoe joke.
I ain't got time.
Are you going over to Hacksaw Jim Duggan?
Yeah, I mean, it ended with him saying that, and then she ended up being a manager for Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and it took me and Marcus about a couple of seconds to realize what the hell he was talking about. But
when
then,
he said Hexa J, then he went hold. I was like, oh yeah, okay, what there you go.
Then he goes that the rated R superstar after the Royal Rumble, he will turn him into the rated G superstar for Gone and Gonorrhea. Lita started to talk, but then Cena.
You really just act like gonorrhea is a small issue. Like, oh yeah, he's gonna be good. It would have gotten over here. Like, anyway.
Lita started to talk, and then Cena said, "It's nice to see something of substance coming out of your mouth."
Instead of in.
There's another shot of her oral activities, I guess.
Well, she blatantly admits it.
Then Cena was like, he closes off by saying, "You are sitting next to a bitch, and at the Royal Rumble, I'm going to make you my bitch."
A touching.
Yeah, it's like, because he can't quit him.
Yes.
So, that was it. That was the intro to the show. Once again, the champ did start to show off.
The champ is Edge, and he's a better champion than Cena.
Well, because he's opening shows, and this is what Kurt Angle was arguing.
No, he's not just opening the show. He is the show. Yeah, he made himself the focal point of Raw.
Because he's the rated R superstar.
Him and Shawn Michaels.
I think you were right. That black man is the new host. I'm offended.
Don't worry what he's talking about. It's just something on TV.
Okay, so the next match is another.
And it's not because the guy is black.
Oh, the next match is Kane versus Carlito. Now, really, do we really need to see Kane and Carlito fight? I mean, true, Carlito said no one could beat him last week, and then Kane threw him outside over the top rope. But do we really want to see this match, Mark?
Well, I'm intrigued. But I didn't really want to see it because I knew Carlito was going to lose.
So anyway.
And I knew that Kane had the power.
Kane whoops on Carlito the majority of the match. But Carlito has some cool spots, as I was about to say, but you cut me off. Because Carlito was in rare form tonight. He landed a moonsault off the middle rope.
It wasn't really like a moonsault. It was like a corkscrew.
It was something that he did that.
He flips back into like a senton.
It was like a line. And then, of course, he landed his innovative backbreaker on Kane, which, you know, is always nice.
Yeah, but Kane, worry about that knee.
But then, I think the best move of the night is that he attempts another move off the rope, the middle rope, but then Kane catches him for the choke slam. But being a great cerebral assassin that he is, true, that's Triple H, he pokes Kane in the eye and. Kane releases the chokeslam. Now, all these years, Kane been getting people in these chokeslam. No one thought to poke him in the eye.
I think he's been poked a few times by either Ric Flair or whoever else is around. Whoever he's feuding with at the time.
And so, anyway, for some reason, Carlito just got fed up, though, and decided, you know what, I'm going to get a chair. I'm just going to hit this fool upside the head with a chair.
Because he didn't need this. He didn't need this before the Royal Rumble. What kind of selfishness is that? Some bias to put him in a match against Kane to try to destroy Carlito's chances of becoming WWE champion at WrestleMania. What kind of stuff is this? So what he go out there and do, he gonna attempt to get himself DQ'd.
So he hits him in the chair, and he thinks he did something, but then Kane sits up full of hell, and then Carlito runs away.
You say he came in there and...
He hit him with the chair, knocked him out.
No, he actually, Kane blocked it first, and then he bounced back.
Doesn't matter.
And then he hit him.
Then it ended up with Kane being hit by a chair.
Yeah,
need to hear him being blocked. He hit him with the chair.
Hit
him with the chair. He got back up. That was it.
Because it was conflict. I thought Kane had hit him with the chair.
Because you know what? We don't need to care about this match. Because you know what happened after this match?
What happened?
They went backstage and there was the champ, Edge and Lita. And they were discussing how Edge had someone in mind. But he needed Lita help to persuade them into being his partner.
Now, Lita was all, I don't want to do this anymore.
He was like, you can use a towel and some soap to clean up afterwards.
I was like, whoa.
And he gives her a pep talk. And
so
then
right now, he's pimping.
Yeah, so she walks into Big Show locker room and they go to commercial. Now, when they get back from the commercial, Lita's inside Big Show locker room. How did the cameraman get in there? I do not know, but I guess it's a cameraman.
Edge told him to go in there. He has
but
to see
apparently,
the
there's a cameraman in everybody's locker room except for Booker T's conference hall that was on SmackDown. So she's trying to seduce him. She removes her shirt and she's just wearing her bra. And then Edge walks in with the greatest look on his face. He looks like a pimp. He looks like, you like that, don't you? It's like
he looked so villainous,
so sinister. If I had some way to capture the way his face looked, I would do it just to put it right here.
He had a big Kool-Aid smile on his face, though. It was just, oh, joy is me. This is going down.
And then he makes the pimp offer. He tells the show there's a lot more where that came from if he teams up with him tonight.
Now, him and Lita aren't making the mistake that old Eminem and Melina did when they just gave it up without verifying the contract of the team.
Because Edge is a pimp! He's a pimp!
That's why he's the Red Eye
Superstar. He had a plan about this. And so, Big Show thinks about it for a minute. And then Big Show responded all out of context. I mean, Edge is trying to hook this man up with a piece of a tail, and he was
that sounds terrible.
But that's what
he's a tail.
That's what he's trying to do. And so anyway, Big Show's like, I should whoop your ass, but I'm a man, and I'm gonna wait to the Rumble and win it like a man should do it. And you be lucky enough if Cena doesn't whoop your ass at the Royal Rumble.
Just taking shots of how Edge won the title, but Edge didn't win the title with Braun. He didn't win it with speed and ability. He won it with his brain.
And then all Edge was trying to do was get a man some tail, though.
Just give him a little.
But then the point
is, give him a little flippy-flippy.
After all what Edge has said that he done the leader, who won his sloppy seconds? Yes. I mean, I'm sorry. I wouldn't want to touch that. But yeah, speaking of tail, we cut to another locker room.
Did you say pimps up hoes down?
I didn't say pimp hoes. You can say pimps up
hoes. Well, Big Show said no. Pimps up hoes down.
And he walked. And instead of them leaving his locker room, he walks out his locker room.
Yeah. Now the question is,
would you want to leave those two nasty MFers in your locker room to do God? I get to see Edge in the locker room.
Matter of fact, they did come back into that locker room later because they have totally taken over the Big Show's locker room all of a sudden.
I mean, don't tell me what kind of elements that they left in there.
Elements?
You know,
Edge decided not to do anything because they wanted to wait till they found a partner, and he was very stressed, which we find out later.
Okay.
And, you know, remember that.
Well,
they didn't do anything in that locker room.
Like, we're back, and Mickie James was talking to Trish, asking her why she was teaming up with Ashley instead of her. Now, this is... I have to say, the storyline is getting a lot better than the matches, because Mickie James is crazy as hell.
It's getting deep.
Mickie then stated, she started going crazy, was like, do you like Ashley better than me? Do you? And then Trish was like, okay, I'm sorry. If it means that much to you, then you could be my partner. Now, first of all, I didn't know Trish had this power to decide who's her partner's going to be. But then Mickey looks up and is like, you know what? Never mind. I'll accept whoever you want to be your partner. And then she walks out.
No, she just sat down.
No, she sat down and she looked up and
she walked out.
And then she walked out.
Very heartbreaking segment.
Yeah.
I was heartbroken.
So the next,
it touched me.
The next match is going to be Ashley and Trish versus Victoria and Candice. Now, before this match started, for some reason... But I'm not going to talk about the coach tonight because he was wearing the Ben Roethlisberger jersey, number 7. Coach, I was a fan of yours because I was a nice jersey. But the coach stands up on the announce table and announces that he is going to be the last entrant in the Royal Rumble. Now, they did point out that last year he did last 30 minutes in the Royal Rumble. But the point is, does anybody want to see the coach in the Royal Rumble?
I mean, they couldn't put people they left out like Gregory.
Well, speaking of that time, they get a chance later on tonight.
I know.
Lawler then interrupts and stands up and asks the coach, what has he ever done to get a spot in the Royal Rumble? And then he asks the fans, would you want me to be in the Royal Rumble? And the funniest thing, the fans really didn't go,
I'll be all right. I'll be better than the coach.
Then he also pointed out that everybody who was in the Rumble had to qualify for the Rumble. And then Lawler challenges coach to a match. And the coach accepts, and then they sit right back down, and we're being treated later on tonight to an epic match between the coach and Jerry Lawler.
And the coach was actually entertaining so well, how he would just say, you know, I can't wait to see such and such in the Rumble later on. He was like, you ain't got to beat me first. I was like, no, you know, he went back and forth with Jerry the King all day.
Now, this is the woman match, and me and Marcus, we were really pretty much
it's
like,
it's the women's, not the woman.
The women's match, and we was a little nervous, but this match was better than expected.
No, I think it was better because we weren't expecting pretty much nothing.
But then I just say it was better than we expected, but we did cringe when Ashley and Candice got inside the ring together.
You cringed? I was like, more the merrier.
No, Marcus. You know that Candice can't wrestle and Ashley can't wrestle.
Well, Candice has a lot of...
But luckily, it was short and sweet. The match ends by Ashley going to the top rope and she hits a high crossbody on Victoria for the pin.
Apparently, Tori Wilson was out there.
And she was with the dog. After the match, though, Mickey came out and she attacked Ashley and, of course, the refs and Trish had to separate her off of Ashley, setting up a match at the Royal Rumble between Mickey and Ashley. Really don't want to see this, but we can't.
Don't need to see this at the Rumble. There's like 8 Raw matches at the Rumble and like no SmackDown.
Yeah. Then they go backstage and they show Thea cleaning up, or referred to, if you guys might know,
Shelton's mother.
Clean up the locker room.
Shelton
comes in and says, you don't have to do that because it was the other boy's stuff. He then proceeds to whine to his mom, talking about how Shawn Michaels, earlier in the night, called him a mama's boy and he was upset. She then responds by saying, It doesn't make him a mama's boy because his mama, cares enough to come down to the ring with him, and it was just jealousy.
And that because his mama was standing in the corner with him.
And then Sheldon says, "You can beat up Sean's mama, can't you, mama? Huh?" And she's like, "You know you're right." Then it's time for the Shawn Michaels versus Shelton Benjamin match.
The epic Shawn Michaels.
This is a 3-commercial break match?
Two. Yeah, but during one of the commercial breaks was funny because apparently Shelton suplexed Shawn Michaels back onto the turnbuckle pole. He had him suplex. Shawn falls over. Shelton's mama walk over. Yeah, that hurt, didn't it? And Shawn Michaels points at her and say, "I'm too old for this." And she says, "Yes, you are," and there's a big chuckle by everybody in the arena.
But Barry, this is
really no reason.
But this is before the match. You didn't. Really,
this is mid-commercial.
Yeah, but you didn't point out what really happened at this match that just made us ruin the whole
night.
Yeah.
Just go through the match.
No, after
you ain't gonna go through the match.
No, I am. After they introduce Shawn Michaels and Shelton Benjamin, the moment that me and Marcus hate, because so far it was a pretty good Raw. Vince comes out and says that if Shawn loses, and he is out of the Royal Rumble.
I really still don't care about this storyline.
Yeah.
Because I know where it's leading to, and I don't want to go there.
Shelton did. Well, you know, it was actually talked that The Rock might come out of retirement to fight Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, but he doesn't like Shawn Michaels
because he treated him like an asshole when he first got there.
Well, Shawn Michaels treat everybody like an asshole.
But that's before Shawn Michaels found Guy. And plus, you was Rocky Maivia. Who should we treat you anybody?
The smiling sensation.
But apparently, Rock wants to fight Bret Hart. Why would Bret Hart really can't wrestle, but he can't really wrestle right now.
How you know?
He had a stroke.
Yeah, but you don't know.
Come on, Mark.
I've seen people come back for worse.
You've seen him on Bite This.
He was fat.
Oh, man.
Bret, I think they can pull it off.
Well, so anyway, in this match, Shelton attempts a leapfrog, but Michael stops, and then he delivers some chops to Shelton, and they go to commercial break when they end up outside the ring. They come back from commercial, and Shelton was still on the offense. Shelton attempted a superplex, but Shawn punched him down to the floor. But then Shelton jumped right back up, hit him with an enziguri, and he knocked him outside the ring. And I think this is where the conversation between Shawn Michaels and Thea commenced about him being too old for this. And they go to commercial. Then,
let me say something. Shelton all night had Shawn Michaels scouted. Not only did he clean up the mistake of when they fought, that may have been their first match, when he jumped springboards over to Shawn Michaels and God knows what he was trying to do. And he cleaned up that and catches Shawn Michaels' super kick. He also went back to watch film knowing that Shawn Michaels had a history of concussions after getting an insecurity from Owen Hart.
So anyway.
Strategy of Shelton.
Now, they come back from the commercial, and this is how the match is. You know, Shawn finally got Shelton down on the mat. He's about to go for his elbow. But Shelton, with cat-like reflexes, jumps up to the top rope,
mm-hmm.
suplexes Shawn Michaels down, but couldn't get a two count. Got him back up, tried the stinger splash.
And that was the worst stinger splash ever. Cause he didn't
not as run. Bad as the coach hopping into the turnbuckle.
Oh, yes. But we'll get into that later.
But then he attempts his T-bone, also known as the exploder. But Shawn,
it is?
Yeah, it's called the Exploder. If you go back, you hear Joey Styles call it the Exploder.
Okay.
But Shawn fought all of it. Then Thea distracts the ref. Shelton sneaks behind Shawn, rolls him up for the pin, but the ref is still captivated by Thea's beauty, and he does not turn around. Shawn then reverses his pin into his own pin. The ref sees this one, white man bias, and he counts. And
he blatantly grabs the tape.
And, I mean, he exposed some of Shelton's ass, I think.
I didn't need to see that either.
And, you know, he gets to win. Shelton is whining. And pretty much that is. And then what they do, they cut backstage to the locker room where Edge and Lita is talking to somebody trying to
say. Hey, wait a minute. Did we explain what Vince McMahon stipulated? We just said he came out.
I told him that he would be off the Rumble. You just don't listen to me.
I don't.
And then they cut backstage to the Rated R Superstar and Lita. Believe they're still inside Big Show locker room. No, they're not. They're talking to another wrestler trying to sell them on being a partner, and no other than was Triple H.
This is the guy I told them they should have went for first.
Not necessarily.
I would have went for Triple
H. They made sense, Mark. Then Triple H said he would think about it. Well, think about it. You first you go for the biggest dog in the yard, which is the Big Show.
Yeah.
Then you go for the...
Also the tag team champion.
Then you go for...
But that was nowhere to be found from him.
Then you go for Triple H,
mm-hmm.
and you got an eye think about it. And you know, what can you say? At least you got an eye think about it with his savings beard and stuff. Who was having a baby boy. I think we might announce that later, earlier, but...
Little Gabe.
I am the
Gabe.
So anyway, anyway, so we come back, and Vince McMahon is inside of Shawn Michaels' locker room. He comes in. He was wondering when was Shawn going to finally run out. Shawn says, why are you bothering me so much?
That's the question that's going through everybody's mind. And he finally asked
me. And he said, if it bothers you so much for me to tell you to move on from the Montreal incident, please go back there and just leave me alone. I'm sorry. You can do what you want. Just please leave me alone. Vince said he would like to turn his business back 10 to 20, maybe even 30 years ago, back when the business was sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Now, didn't he just implement a new drug policy?
Exactly.
Let's go.
And then he asked Shawn if he wanted to join him. Shawn practicing just said no. He turned down Vince, and then Vince said, you don't turn me down like that, and your lunk will run out at the Royal Rumble, and I guarantee it. Now, I can see this happening.
Vince called himself Satan pretty much.
Pretty much.
He was the devil. Like, you gotta go back to the old days, Shawn. We gonna give this pretty boy look, Shawn. We ain't gonna start cheating on your wife, man. We ain't gonna start doing drugs again, Shawn. And all this other stuff. He's
now,
like, I'm never doing that
now
again.
Now it's time for the match that we all have been waiting for. The Royal Rumble qualification match. The coach, Donovan Coachman, versus Jerry the King Lawler.
Judge, Eric, this is the most anticipated match of the night.
I'm telling you, when they made this match, I was like, yes! How long was it going to take for me to see the coach in action again? And then against Jerry Lawler, such a worthy opponent.
We got a match.
So, Jerry Lawler was about to win this match until the Spirit Squad came out.
Wait a minute. You just can't jump onto the Spirit Squad already and Jerry Lawler's about to win. Jerry Lawler's landing punches, and then Lawler's in the corner somehow, I don't remember. And then the coach jumps into the turnbuckle, and the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. He's running the slowest I've ever seen somebody run. He stops, then jumps into the turnbuckle, and apparently injures his groin area.
And you wonder why I left it out, because I said that earlier.
Yeah, but we got to bring it back into the fall.
No,
we got to bring it back into the mix.
So the Spirit Squad comes out. And, you know, they're distracting at first, but Lawler go back to work. He goes for his fish drop, but then somebody in the Spirit Squad decides to blow an air horn.
Now, apparently, one of the Spirit Squad members was Kevin White's former caddy.
Probably was, and also I think it was somebody from the Tough Enough Challenge.
And there's a lot of people from Ohio Valley Wrestling.
Yeah, so anyway, and this distracts Jerry Lawler enough where Coach runs up, gets the pin, and he wins the match. What I thought was a nice touch to this match...
Not
the Spirit Squad helped, but I mean, you can't really make Coach a real wrestler. Well, the point is that they got a ring and they spelled Coach, but I thought the part that I like is that after Jerry Lawler and the coach finished fighting, they went back to the ring and did commentary.
Yeah.
I ain't never seen this happen before.
They were just happy.
As many times.
It really didn't work. Nobody really got injured in this match.
No.
But anyway, the Spirit Squad was chin Coach. They spelled Coach wrong because I think he spelled it with an A in one of the signs with the Spirit Squad. And I really
It's an A in Coach, Marcus.
No, it's supposed to be C-O-A-C-H. They had C-A-O-C-H.
Well, who cares?
Something like that.
They're the Spirit Squad.
But anyway, I was in awe of the Spirit Squad, Eric. Let me tell you, I was stunned and shocked and appalled by the Spirit Squad. Came out of left field. I had no clue that there was going to be any such crew known as the Spirit Squad celebrating all men doing cheerleading stuff up and down the ring, chanting coach, coach, coach on megaphones and getting in the ring and carrying on. And my goodness,
Andre, I'm gonna give you fuel for your next email. He was in awe of the Spirit Squad. You take it and run with it. You take that one and run with it. He was in awe.
You was in awe too.
No, I wasn't.
You were speechless.
I was shocked that, like, who the hell are these guys? But you just said you were in awe of seeing some male cheerleaders. So anyway,
I was in awe.
It's time for the second chance World Rumble qualification match. Never knew this happened, but it was already in the ring was Lance Cade, formerly of the defunct Trevor and Murdoch, or Murdoch and Cade, Rob Conway, formerly of
the Resistance,
and then Gregory Hemps, formerly of the Superheroes, whatever. Versus, well, they were all against each other, but against the Big Show.
The tag team champion Big Show.
Yeah, exactly. So it was pretty much a tag team. The point is, whoever wins this match gets to go into the Royal Rumble. So, pretty much when the match starts, they all try to eliminate the Big Show, but he just eliminates them all. He eliminates Cade, then Conway, and then finally, he throws Hems over the top rope onto Cade and Conway. After the match, Triple H comes out and told the Big Show not to get too excited because he wasn't coming down there to fight, that he told him not to get his hopes up because he wasn't going to win the Rumble, that he was. Triple H then says that he is done doing charity cases and creating Superstar, and he is only concerned about getting his title back. Hot damn, how long did you think this was going to take before Triple H decided he wanted his belt back?
Yeah, he had decided he wanted the belt back since the announcement of a Royal Rumble.
Also, he took a shot at Flair, but
he takes a shot at everybody.
And then they cut backstage where Edge and Lita are talking about it. And, you know, Lita's trying to get a little freaky, but Edge is like, I can't think about this.
I have no part.
Then all of a sudden, somebody walks into the locker room. He's like, oh, hot damn. Why did I think of you at first? And then they go to commercial.
Which back. Everybody knew was the hair loop orangutan, Chris Mordeski.
Yes. And just like everybody knew who John Cena partner was. I mean, if you didn't figure this out. So first, we already know it's Edge and Masters. Mm-hmm. And then it's John Cena and his mystery partner. Cena comes out to the ring and announced that his partner is a former 16-time world champion.
Hold on. Who could that be?
I mean, first of all, you could tell that was going to be Ric Flair from the point that Edge said that he put Ric Flair out. He wasn't going to be there. Mm-hmm. Second, they're in North Carolina. I ain't never seen Flair miss a North Carolina show in my life.
That's Flair country.
That's Flair country. And second, it only made sense. So Ric Flair came out. The crowd went nuts, you know. Cena started off the match, but he finally tagged in Flair, and the crowd went nuts again, and he started to chop on Chris Masters. Mm-hmm. He didn't begin to fight Edge, but then Masters came back in, gave him the Gorilla Plush Slam. After Flair was getting beat to hell, he finally tagged in Cena. Cena was able to go in and give his delivery of clothesline, shoulder blocks, and all that good stuff. He set Edge up for the FU, but Lita saved him by pulling Edge outside the ring. Then Masters slapped on the Master Lock on Cena, but Flair came and gave a chop block to Masters' knee from behind, which gave Cena the opportunity to give Masters the FU, and then he slapped on the FTS, and Masters tapped out. But was noticed that he had him in perfect position to see Masters so he can see Edge and Lita walk out on him in the middle of this match.
Mm-hmm.
Awful. Awful, awful, awful.
This match was bad, though. It was nothing good about this match. It was just very short and very, it seemed useless.
I think all it was there for was to portray the storyline between Cena and Edge,
mm-hmm.
give Flair his cheap pops, and that's about it.
It really had no juice to this
match. Pretty much, this was a mediocre Raw. It was okay.
No, it wasn't. I love this Raw.
You love this Raw?
I love this Raw.
This Raw you love?
I love this Raw.
This one?
Yeah, this one.
Why?
It's not mediocre.
Why?
It's about a B.
Wow.
Like it sold the pay-per-view to me. I enjoyed the Shawn Michaels Benjamin match. I enjoyed Carlito and Kane. I enjoyed a lot of promos on the show.
But
I enjoyed Raw.
Vince was there.
I don't care. He wasn't there and dominated the show like he did in previous weeks. He was there for a short segment.
I would have gave this a C.
This is a pretty good Raw, man.
No, I'll say
I enjoyed that.
No, I would have gave it a C because, yes, it did hype up the pay-per-view, but that's it. Well,
yeah,
anyway.
Also, in the end of the Cena and Flair match on WWE Unlimited, he gives a tribute to Flair.
All right, so now it's time for listener email. Yeah, we'll be right back.
Oh, time for the break.
Me and Marcus have received a derogatory email. Now, the email that was
call it what it is. Hate mail.
Listener
hate mail.
And the worst part about it is from the first person that ever sent us an email. So, Floyd, here goes your email. He says, since I was the first person to email you, and I consider myself one of your biggest fans, I'll be the first to send you some hate mail.
Ouch!
I think you guys act like two little bitches.
Oh!
You constantly bicker about things that ain't got nothing to do with anything.
Oh, God!
I think you guys are too obsessed with Brokeback Mountain.
I'm sorry, but
if you are gay, then come out of the closet.
I can't do it yet.
I am sick and tired of you guys no-selling me in your email segment, so here's my top five reasons why I hate your show.
Ouch!
Number five, noises in the background, family members, etc. Spikes in the audio. Marge probably gave us a lot of those right now.
Ouch!
Eric giving cheap plugs for my girlfriend, if you really have a girlfriend. Ooh, that one hurt.
That hurts. Ouch!
Brokeback Mountain.
Why is Brokeback Mountain number 3? I love that movie.
Weak ass chops, sorry ass music.
Yeah, we should chop it out.
Unprofessional ratings and ravings. Ranting and raving and going way off topic.
Mm-hmm.
I want to challenge you guys to a tag team match with me and my mystery partner. You can put this match on your show. That will put asses in the seats. War,
ouch!
Floor in the Neverland. So, Marcus, you want to be the first one to respond?
Ouch! Anyway, where are we? All right, I'll start to the top five.
Oh, okay.
Oh, by the way, listeners.
I'm not doing the top five reason why you hate the show. If you
want, I think we should do it.
I refuse to.
I would love to hear every reason why you hate the show. That's a top five that I would enjoy to do. Number two, Brokeback Mountain is a good movie. It deserves the buzzworthy of every world, and even Trevor Murdoch enjoyed this movie for reasons undisclosed.
I
love Brokeback Mountain,
Mark,
just seemed like such an elegant display of true love when two men go to a mountain and really have sex.
Well, first of all,
I'm still going.
Oh God!
Noises in the background. It's normal background. We don't have professional equipment here. Eric is too lazy to get a soundproof wall and get paper cups and
go all hustle and flow. So I can make my point.
Weak ass chops. We've been doing chops since episode one, and I don't feel that they're weak because they actually hurt. And Eric, you don't have a girlfriend.
I do too. I can post pictures to prove it. So, are you finished now, Marcus?
Hold on. Isn't there something else I'm missing? Oh, yes. You're a little bitch. I'm the grand finale. Boom.
Whatever. So, anyway. So, we act like a bunch of bitches. Maybe we do, but guess what? We're brothers, and so we're going to bicker about anything and anything. And I believe when you first emailed us, you actually liked how we kept it real and we was always arguing. And then he says that we're obsessed with Brokeback Mountain. For your information, we're not the only one obsessed with it, because if you looked at TNA, I believe Christian had a reference, and how the whole Brokeback Mountain thing started was with WWE when they put that little review by Trevor Murdoch up there. And true, you are in the Netherlands, so you don't know the craze that the Brokeback Mountain has swept the United States, but everybody who's anybody is making fun of Brokeback Mountain. Jay Leno, David Letterman, Jimmy Kimball.
Hey, wait a minute. That people are just not making fun of this movie. They're destroying the pride of this movie. This movie is going to win the Academy Award for Best Picture of the Year, and I have nothing against that.
And then also,
I mean, the movie,
they even mentioned this on ESPN, so I mean, for us to say that we're overselling the movie, that's crazy. And first of all, we are not gay. It's just a fun joke that when me and my friends get around, we each call each other gay. You know, we clown on each other. That's what we do.
Yes. Many moons have I been called a gay.
I have no idea what no selling you in our email segment means, but hey, if you feel that we do that, we're sorry. Now, let's get into your top five reasons why you hate the show. Noises in the background, family members, and spikes and all. First of all, we have never asked for not one donation for this show.
We broke, bitch.
We broke. So we have already sucked up and bought a $22 microphone. That's the best we're going to get.
Eric, we stepped up and bought a $22 mic. But before that, we didn't even have a mic.
And then spikes in audio, you can thank Marcus for that. And
thank
then also, our family members interrupted. Hey, we live in a house with other people. We can't tell them to shut up. And then actually, I remember when our
actually,
grandma...
we can tell them to shut up, but they don't shut up.
Can you... I didn't interrupt you.
Like you need the soundproof room.
And then... If I recall an email that you sent us on the episode where our grandfather interrupted, you actually said you love that. Now, to number four, me giving cheek plugs for my girlfriend. First of all, I have mentioned my girlfriend maybe once or twice. I have not mentioned her.
You mentioned her five times in the show already.
For real?
Well, because once when you read the top five, I mentioned the top five. You just said it again. You're going to say it again, and you're going to say it after
that.
Well,
in this show,
look
what up?
In the future.
Yeah, but out of 38 shows.
Out of time, man.
I mean, what can I say? Brokeback Mountain, we already.
It sounds like Magic Mountain.
Okay, the next thing, weak ass chop and sorry ass music. As for the weak ass chop, the chops are actually louder. We just have a cheap ass mic.
They hurt.
And then sorry ass music, yes, you might not like it, but me and Marcus.
I don't like the music sometimes.
I don't care.
I pick the music personally. I don't like the new audio problem. You know, like last week's show, it's like, dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun, we're back, dun-dun-dun. It's the same stupid-ass beat.
Exactly.
I do have a problem with that, and that's my number two reason why I hate this show.
I don't give a damn.
Nigga.
Because you know what? I'm going to still put my music there. And then the last thing for the unprofessional ranting and raving and going way off tackle. Now,
Taco? Are you hungry? Do you want a burrito?
First of all, I don't think we ever claim to be professional. We're probably...
Well, I have in a recent episode, I said we could consider ourselves professional podcasters because we have put 37 episodes in the can. We are very unprofessional.
I am nowhere close to being a professional person, and I'm going rant and rave by things I don't like. And as for going off topic, all the pod shows or podcasts that I listen to, it's only a few of people who have more than one person doing a show with them stay on topic.
Like your good old buddy, Don McAllister.
Yeah, Don McAllister, he stays on topic.
But he can't type.
I mean, Dig Nation, one of those that we listen to. Damn, they have a drinking game for every time that you go off topic. So, I mean, to say that we're doing this is crazy. And then also for your challenge, me and Marks will wrestle you. Why not?
I'll tell you this. I'm a dirty wrestler because I'm not in shape.
And then we have something.
We will not make tags. You would easily have our manager, Ryan, distract the referee as I slip in through the other rope and give a low blow to win the match.
Exactly.
Dirty wrestler.
So, but anyway, Floyd, thank you for your suggestions. We're going to take them into consideration. Wait, keep the email coming. Now it's time for our next email.
I didn't read this one. Am I mentioned in this one?
Yes, you are.
Okay.
Okay, this is from Dr. Dre. He says, hey, yo, no girly references for Marcus this week as Eric did a good enough job. Thank you. Plus, Marcus didn't leave much openings. Remember, this week, he did leave one.
What? He
does it again. So he also sends us a cool link to an article on Wikipedia where they list all the Intercontinental Champions.
Oh, wow.
And then he tells us his top five Intercontinental Champions. His number five was Roddy Piper. He said it's the only belt he ever had.
The reason I didn't put Roddy Piper on my list is because I don't remember him. I just remember Roddy Piper as the wrestling personality and a pretty good wrestler. Never remember him as a champion really much.
Then he says Eddie Guerrero, rest in peace.
Put Eddie. I go to.
Because Eddie wasn't on my list because he was a champion. Rick Rude, enough said. Chris Jericho, he says seven-time IC champ. I didn't see that on WWE chart, but he wouldn't be on my list anyway.
Well, my chart was from some jank site. I didn't know they had a WWE, and I didn't know, but Chris Jericho nearly missed my list. I forgot who cut him off
he
for.
Couldn't be on
I cut him off for Bret and Shawn.
He couldn't be on my list because he was a champion, and then he agreed with me, our number one pick, Scott Hall, his drunken brother. And yes, he closed by saying it was a slow week in news. He totally agreed with Scott Hall, totally disagreed with Double J. I'm sorry, people.
Double J shouldn't have been on there.
I'm sorry. I wanted controversy. He said he had to make this a short one because he's at work. Keep up the good work, Dr. Dre. Now, we appreciate everybody's email. If you feel like you need to contact us, please send us a line at thesharpshooters@gmail.com. We'll take hate mail, good mail. It doesn't matter. Floyd, we still love you, Buck.
It's getting red on here no matter what. Now, you can say, Marcus, you have a fat, fat head. As you know, that commercial does. You know, I got to do it. Anyway, are we going to the closing comment?
We're in the closing comments?
All right, my closing comments. Congratulations, Mr. Kobe Bean Bryant. I know this has nothing to do with wrestling.
81, baby.
And in the beginning of the show, I was going to at least say 81 different words in this episode. So in 48 minutes, and I believe I accomplished that goal by using 48 different words.
Know what the greatest thing about
81.
Know what the greatest thing about Kobe 81 is? Is that they didn't start a double team until he got 75. What the hell? Why he didn't start a double team when he had 55?
Now, people
talk about his 81, and everybody say, oh, he doesn't pass the ball. But the point is, the Lakers were down by 20-something points at halftime. He brought them back to win by 20-something points.
This is like the old John Cena effect, and this is why I was going to come back with it.
And then I asked the question.
Kobe Bryant is like John Cena. Nobody likes him until he does something they like.
Exactly. Now, everybody always say, why doesn't Kobe pass the ball? And I ask you this question. Who would you pass the ball to?
It's like Caden Murdock.
So anyway.
You can't tag
so that's enough of that. So Super Bowl is this week.
No, it's not.
I mean, next week. It's the Steelers versus the Seahawks. Man. I am going for the Steelers. Anything else in wrestling?
Send in top five stuff.
Oh, this top five.
It's the Royal Rumble, right?
It's the Royal Rumble. Who we think are going to win
top
the Royal
five.
Rumble.
I got a suggestion. I mean, not a suggestion, but how are we doing this? Is it joint? Are we going to have a separate Raw versus SmackDown again?
We're just going to pick the top five people think are going to win the
Rumble.
But
it's going to be probably close.
If it's close, it's close.
Aw, man. I think I'll go SmackDown.
I don't
want to
do
Raw.
SmackDown.
I'll go Raw. You go SmackDown.
I don't have enough. I don't have enough one for neither shows that I think have a true chance for winning. I don't. Marks, you can do your list the way that you want to, but mine's going to be Murph.
It's who we think should win.
Marks.
All right. It's probably going to be a joint list.
I know. I'm going to have my separate list.
But we.
Anyway, and so also I have also some ideas for some future top five. So
I have a lot of them.
Oh yeah, so we might want to write them down. But for now, our web address is sharpshooters.blogspot.com.
That's DA.
Our email address is sharpshooters@gmail.com. Don't forget the poll. Please get your votes in before it closes down on Saturday. And that's about it. Oh,
the Frapper map. Vote for us at Podcast Alley. That's more important than the Frapper map. I don't want to be 926.
All right.
We were moving up.
So anyway, I'm Eric.
And I'm Marcus, the Grand Finale.
And we have love for everybody. And we spread like butter. See
you
next
can't
week.
Know! For episode 39,
the sequel.
No! You can't say my stuff!
Bye.